Did you know that math is the foundation of all learning? Join us for this episode of Vintage Homeschool Moms as I delve into today's topic with my special guest.
This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Everyone, and welcome. I'm excited to bring you a very special show today, special because it isn't often that the mainstream is supportive of the homeschool community, and my guest and I have crossed paths through a mutual friend some time ago. And when he shared his vision, I was intrigued not only by his passion, but his excitement about the homeschool community. And some of you may not remember that my degree is in education with a certification in early childhood learning and specific learning disabilities, as it was termed back then. However, I'm extremely interested in homeschool parents allowing their kids time to think and explore. And I'm also a big advocate of early childhood learning. And so my guest and his team care enough about learning and homeschooling that they've agreed to sponsor the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network and share a very special offer with all of you, specifically for our listeners. So our sponsor today is Elephant Learning, and my special guest is Dr. Aditya Nagrath, who is the CEO of Elephant Learning. He has a PhD in math and computer science. Welcome, Dr. Nagrath.
Hi, Felice. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm happy to have you here, and we're going to get into a little bit about this program that you have. But before we do, I want to let our listeners know that they can find more information about Elephant Learning on our show notes at vintagehomeschoolmoms.com under podcast 173, Elephant Learning. So what made you decide to create an early learning program, and why specifically in math?
Well, okay, good. That's a great question. Back in May of 2016, I met with my graduate studies advisor, Dr. Alvaro Arias, and I've been out of college for a little while, but he wanted to talk to me about this product that he was making back then called Kids Play Math. And as he was telling me about the statistics about what's going on in this country about mathematics, I began to have a flashback to my childhood, and I remembered how my mother used to bring the math books of the following year home over the summer and make me and my sister learn math at home during the summer.
Oh, my gosh. That sounds so much like my mother. She used to do the same thing. She would go to the schools and before the classes were over and ask them if there was anything else I needed to learn. And, of course, the teachers were very accommodating because what parents really seem that invested, right, especially – you know, in education. That's so funny. We have that common thing. Our parents made us do school during the summer.
Oh, God. I know what you mean. Yeah, so one of the things that happened because my mother got the books for the following year and taught us every summer was that when I was in the fourth grade, I got really upset that I wasn't in the advanced math class. I remember there was a test. And I was just like, I was 1 point below the test. And I begged the teacher, I was like, let me into it. And she said, no. And what I found out very quickly was that the advanced math course just met in the back of the room.
Oh, funny.
So I decided that I would sit in the back of the room so that I could hear the advanced math course. And what I would do is I would literally just read the book, listen to that. And then I would hear that really what they would do is they were faster than us. And they did more problems than us, and that was the difference between the advanced course and the normal fourth grade math course. And I would just do their homework, and I did that for several months. I think like for 6 months until I figured out the teacher didn't even care if I did, you know, if I was like, I don't know if she didn't notice or what it was, but I just got the feeling that no one cared, even though I was doing the advanced course work. That you know, they still wouldn't let me in.
Yeah, and I think that's like one of the things that. It's really good as a homeschool mom because I know that for us, like, I knew what level my kids were at because I was homeschooling. So I think that really helps a lot.
Yeah, it helps a ton. And when I got into middle school, I taught myself how to program BASIC, I think. There was a course on it, but the teacher wasn't there. He literally just gave us the book. There was like six children in this class. And we literally just taught ourselves BASIC right there. And I think a lot of that came from having to do that every summer, having to learn these things outside of a formal setting. And the nice thing about it, though, is the amount of effort that she had to put in to do it, right? So as Alvaro was telling me about how important math is for young children and what it does, pretty much for the rest of their lives, I began to wonder, how am I going to put in that work myself for my son, who at the time was on his way. He was my wife was about 6 months pregnant, and so, in a way, I started to panic a little bit, and then I started to come about and ask Alvaro, you know, well, what do we do about it? And the good news is that there's a lot of research that's been done recently that can make this problem a lot easier for everyone to digest.
Oh, that's interesting. So you were telling me that, you know, you really wanted to pass this gift on to your child, and, you know, that's very important to me as well as a mom. We want our kids to be able to enter the job market competitively, and it's really difficult these days because, you know, it's almost like some people are overqualified or people are talking about, you know, should we go with the vocational track? So you're saying that this, you know, this research that was done showed the importance of early math. So as you were discussing this with Alvaro, you know, you thought it was important enough to create this program, obviously. So tell me a little bit more about this research and what it found.
So the research basically says that preschool math scores are able to predict achievement well into high school and probably also into college. One study was done with preschool math in fifth grade, and what they found was that the preschool math scores predicted fifth grade overall scores, meaning that it wasn't just math that was affected. It was social studies. It was English. It was reading. In fact, the math scores predicted reading scores better than early age reading scores, which was surprising. And if you can imagine that, you know, many of our children want to go into the higher paying jobs when they get out of college. And these are typically people that would go into science or technology or engineering. But without really understanding the math when you get to high school, you're not going to go into those majors. And in fact, if you do go into one of those majors, you're going to find out the math requirements are very stringent. And typically what happens is they end up switching majors to something softer. 2 out of 3 high students are not proficient in math. And 4 out of 5 students entering kindergarten are not prepared for the math courses they're taking.
Yeah, and that's what astounds me. Going back to what you said about the upper grade math, I've heard of kids who have done really well in math and even tested well in math, but when they got to the college level, conceptually, they were lost, and they did. I know one of my friend's sons really struggled, and so, you know, part of that goes back to what you were saying about understanding the concepts. And I guess I'm just like floored that, you know, kindergartners are already behind. Oh, no. You know, so you're telling me that children, even if they're homeschooled kids, can enter kindergarten unprepared. And I'm going to share with you, you know, that people listening are thinking, why are you even talking about kindergarten? And, you know, I just want my kids to play and stuff like that. And so I'm one of those moms that wanted them to play, to have time to think and all of that. But I really worked with my little kids on different learning activities. And I think that's why I'm really engaged by this research that's been done. So why is it? How can kids fall behind? I mean, you're talking about babies here, you know, Aditya, they're little. So how can they fall behind when they haven't even started yet?
That's a great question. So a lot of the math concepts that we deal with at this age are so fundamental to what we as humans do that I think parents underestimate what a child requires. So at the ages of 2, 3, 4 years old, your child is learning a lot of language. But when do they have the chance to learn math language, right? The most parents typically do, and all I could think of to do when I was there with Alvaro is, you know what, I'm going to try to get my child to count, right? I'm going to make him count. If I'm lucky, by the time he's 3 years old, he's going to count to 1,000. That's completely the wrong path.
Yeah, I think the kids love that. They start counting and skip counting, and yeah, it's so funny. They love to do that.
The big problem here is as they're counting, they don't actually understand what those numbers mean. They're just reciting a string of words, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And there's not necessarily any understanding behind that. The other thing that parents typically will do is they'll play the finger games with their hands up to 10, right? So I met a 3-year-old at a barbecue, and I was testing one of the things that Alvaro had told me. This was back in July. And he had told me that a 3-year-old can only count to 5 typically. So this is just on the research that was done and just the averages. So if you show a 3-year-old fingers on 2 hands, they're not going to know the answer. So I met a 3-year-old and I showed her 6 fingers. And I said, how many do I have? And she says, I don't know. And I held up 4 fingers and she said, that's 4, but I'm 3. And then she held up her hand and she showed me 3 fingers. Mm-hmm. And so what's happened here is she's identified the number 3 or the word 3, if you will, with her hand and the 3 fingers. And she's also identified it to herself and her age that way, right? The issue here is that the math concepts, while they're not difficult, we have to somehow convey to our children. And we don't walk around saying things like, I have 3 sodas, there are 6 cars. We do math in our head because when we were young, we were told, like, if you do it out loud – you're not very intelligent or whatever parents told us back then. And when would the child have a chance to catch on to this language? So what we do at Elephant Learning is we provide math experiences during playtime. And what's amazing here is that the research shows that children are already dealing with these concepts during their playtime. So if they're playing T or if they're playing with their cars or the researchers show that, like, you know what? They actually address pretty advanced math concepts. The problem is we just have to put the language around it. So what Elephant Learning does is beyond providing those math experiences, we provide language around it, and we allow the parent to place language around it. So the parent working with the kid inside of the games gets to see how we're placing language around the concepts. They get to see the easy concepts. But then beyond that, we give the parent tips on how they can integrate math into playtime. So, for example, like you said, skip counting earlier, if you want to practice skip counting, one thing that you could do is you could play basketball with your child and you can make them keep score. And what we do is we tell you the right time to do that, because if you do that too soon, they can get frustrated, right? Just like if you send them into first grade and they don't understand what a number is and you start making them count, this looks like an impossible task to them. So the timing is just as important as the tips that we're giving out.
Very good. And that comes as the children are playing the game, and then that's emailed to the parents, correct?
That's right. So we have these algorithms running in the background that basically are evaluating your student at all times. You can think of it as artificial intelligence, but I don't like to call it that because in my mind, it's a completely different thing. What happens is as we evaluate your child, we have these reports inside of the app and on the website that you can look at that tell you what are the activities that you can play. But at the same time, we're emailing you excerpts of those reports to remind you that they're there, to bring you in so you can read them. And as you read those tips, all you have to do is just kind of integrate them into the next couple of days, right? It doesn't have to be during playtime, although it's great if you do it during playtime. But if you see the opportunity, for example, to execute some of these tips, outside of our recommendation, then we recommend that you do it so that the kids get used to hearing the language of math. This will reduce math anxiety by a lot, because if you can imagine, a first or second grader is only dealing with addition or subtraction. So if they just understood, mm-hmm. what does it mean to add or subtract, all of that fear is going to go away.
Right. And I remember you telling me before we came on the air, you know, I was talking about, you know, my bias against Common Core, and a lot of homeschoolers don't like it as well. And that, you know, from talking to educators and people who are involved in the school system now, you know, they're saying that there's a lot of frustration with the kids because of, you know, some of the curriculum they're using. So, you know, as a homeschool parent, pretty much, you know, we can select our own curriculum. And I still have to say that my kids, you know, kind of fall into your statistics a little bit in that, you know, math was the least favorite. Out of five kids, you know, three didn't like math. And my second oldest child, who's now a homeschool mom, she did math the minute she woke up, especially in high school, just to get it over with. Like before she even, her room was upstairs, before she even came down in the morning, you know, she got her math done because that was the hardest thing she was going to have to do all day. And if she got that done, then she was happy. So, you know, there is a lot of math anxiety there. And that's one of the things I like, that, you know, through playing a game that kids are going to be a little bit more comfortable anyway. And so you don't use like a memorization strategy, because I know that's one of the things, you know, which we really haven't talked about the program that much, but right now it's geared for seven or 9 year olds.
Right now we're supporting 2 to 8 year olds. We're expanding the curriculum constantly. One of the nice things that we have is Alvaro's working on more curriculum, and we intend, I think, by the end of 2017 to have something that would go up to 10 to 13-year-olds, and then also have a remediation program for 13-year-olds. So the issue here is basically that if you look at what is the common experience for children going through the curriculum that the schools provide, is that if you don't understand the basic concepts and you still have to figure out what is 5 plus 4, you're going to start to engage in what we call memorization strategies, right? Because you still have to do the homework. You still have to take the test. And this is why it's so frustrating, and this is why children are afraid of it. Because if I walked into a college course on advanced marketing, right, like a 300 or 400-level course, I'm not going to understand anything that the professor is saying, because I missed the first 3 years of jargon, right?
Right.
So I'm going to walk in there, I'm not going to understand anything. And that's where some of these kids are at. And this strategy, the memorization strategy, it works for addition, subtraction, multiplication, division. You can memorize the processes behind fractions. But when you get to algebra, if you didn't understand those concepts, if you didn't understand what it meant to add, what 1/4 means, then it's sort of game over at that point. And statistically speaking, there's no recovery. So when you talk to Alvaro about this, he says, well, if you get into algebra at that point, no one really ever recovers, statistically speaking. There has to be an intense amount of work that would go into that child at that point to get them to catch up and then reach the rest of the class, right? And no one's really into investing that time. That's number one. But number two, it's hard to determine what the children understand and don't understand, because when you ask them questions like what's 7 times 3 or what's 5 plus 4, they've already memorized the answer. So they're going to tell you the correct answer.
Right. And I know that there's a ton of software out there that just hits those basic concepts, but this is different, and we'll get into that in just a minute. So, you know, I've homeschooled 5 kids at various ends of the educational spectrum, and I found that with my struggling learners, that they could do the steps, but you're right, they often didn't understand the concepts. I remember at one point, my oldest son had some learning difficulties, and I was trying to explain greater and less than, and he just could not get it, you know, and even like rounding up things. And my daughter was really little at the time, and she pulled a chair over and took my little marker out of my hand. And she drew a line with arrows at each end, and she drew another line with a zero. And she said to my son, you know, if it goes this way, you round up. If it goes this way, you round down. And she put some numbers. And I'm going, I said that, but I didn't draw it out. And he's like, oh, I get that. And, you know, I started laughing. I told my husband later, I go, I guess I should have just had her teach the class. You know, I've been struggling with my son. So sometimes, you know, we as parents understand it, and we're trying to explain it, and even the book explanation is not working. And I mean, we do as homeschoolers a lot of research on different curriculum that we're using, and you know, if we don't like it, we're not a school system where we have to say, oh, you know, can we have permission to change this? In fact, my poor oldest son, I changed curriculum mid-year because I just thought it was horrible and made the poor child start at the beginning of the book and go through. You know, it's a wonder, even with an educational background, that my kids learned at some point. You know, I feel like that. And they all did great. But why do you think that the curriculum we typically use, you know, it's designed for young children, is not enough to teach them math concepts and the language?
Well, it's mainly procedure focused, right? I mean, everyone's focused on passing the test. So you learn the procedures behind addition, but you're kind of expected to understand the concept. And it's kind of like with what you said about your daughter, right? What she was able to do is she was able to kind of describe the concept pictorially, and then your son was able to look at it and say, oh, now I get it, right? And what she did was quite advanced, right? Because if she drew the number line, that's very, very good. It's a very good understanding of what's going on there. And there's so many different ways to represent the numbers, to represent addition, to represent more and less than. But if you kind of just focus on, well, this is how you answer the question correctly, then the basic concept kind of goes under the bridge, and it's kind of hard to get that back, right? And to be honest with you, it's not that the concepts are difficult. It's that they're so fundamental to the way that, for example, you and I think, that to a child, it's hard for us to explain it. Right. And that's really kind of what I mean when I say we provide math experiences. Right. We provide, for example, the curriculum for less than and greater than. And what we do is we literally ask which of these boxes have more things in them. Right. Why? And we start to facilitate that understanding around the word more by using it in context over and over and over again. So just like the child learns the meanings of every other word, like computer or car, which I'm sure it's fairly easy for them to pick up those words because there's an object associated behind it, right? And right. And as soon as you use it three or four times with three or four different color cars, they get it. They're like, oh, okay, a car is anything with the wheels and the driver and the steering wheel, right? And this car is red and that car is blue, and they start to get those concepts. We have to do the same thing with math, and it's not on the surface how a parent would go about doing that.
All right. So you were talking about some of the different things that, you know, parents can do to kind of gauge where their kids are. And developmentally, you know, there are certain things that kids can grasp and they can't grasp. So just give us an example of that.
Sure. So, I mean, I think what they can grasp is a lot more than what adults typically think. And that's what the research is showing. But what we do is we're able to figure out what they know and what they don't know at this point in time. And, for example, I met a four-year-old the other day, and I was trying to just play with him and see where he was at. So, for example, I held up eight fingers, and I asked him, you know, how many fingers do I have up? Eight. And he got that fine, which means he's able to identify that I have eight fingers. Now, one thing that's a little bit harder is producing. And in this scenario, I was trying to think about how I could get him to produce eight things, right? If I ask him for eight fingers, I know he'd just hold up eight and just reflect back to me what I showed him. So one of the things that I did was I said, you know, there were some peanuts. I said, hey, can you give me eight peanuts? And what this is called is producing, and our app replicates this activity. And what he does is he will start to give me eight peanuts. Now, typically what a four-year-old will do in this case is they will produce peanuts, and because they have to keep the number eight in their head, they'll produce more than eight peanuts. So they'll go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and then at some point you're going to stop them and you're going to say, wait, but I asked for eight peanuts. How many peanuts did you give me? And this is kind of like one of the things that you can do to make sure that they understand the numbers, because it's not just – the fact that there's eight peanuts, or that he's counting out eight peanuts, but that he's able to keep the number 8 in his head at that time to memorize that he's supposed to stop at 8. And these are the kind of tips that we give you in the parent tips, and these are the kinds of things that we're doing inside of the game to make sure that they do understand the concept. What does it mean to have 8 things?
So if they – and I've actually seen the program itself, and so like it says, you know, can you give me 2 more, or it will say, you know, can you put out 5? So they can just drag the little thing over and, you know, line it up. And so when I was playing with it, of course, I'm trying to get it to say I'm wrong. And then if you keep getting it wrong, it goes to another thing. And if you get it right, sometimes you get fireworks, you know, and things like that. So there's like little rewards in the program too, correct?
Yeah, that's right. So we reward them for correct answers. We don't try to make them feel bad for wrong answers. So we're very careful there because obviously math anxiety is the problem we're trying to fix.
Right.
And one of the things that you said there is actually kind of really important. It leads to another subject that's super important for understanding the number line, which is, can you give me 1 more? Can you give me 1 less? Right? Knowing what number comes next, what number comes before, and what that means as far as it concerns the physical world. And those are some of the things that we hammer on very well, and we give you that information as well. So as they achieve milestones within our system, we email you the milestones they've achieved. So we let you know, by the way, your kid can now count to 5, but not only can they count to 5, they really understand what it means to have 5 things. They can produce 5, mm-hmm. they can identify 5, they can do everything with 5.
Right, and I like that because, you know, in the emails it had, you know, your child's progress, and you had suggestions of some of the things you could do with the child if you chose to do that. And, of course, that's going to help you, you know, get through the program quicker because it's based on a child's ability. And I think, you know, the exciting thing for me, especially, you know, as I think of one of my grandkids that's a struggling learner, is you said, you know, that if they're like a 7-year-old and they get through your program, they could be doing math on like a 3rd grade level.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Wow.
There's no limit. You know, some of the research has found that 4-year-olds can understand division. So one thing that you can try with a 4-year-old is the next time you get a pizza, ask them to divide up the slices evenly if you have 4 people or 2 people. And you'll see that they'll come up with a strategy to give everyone the same number of pieces. And that's basically the concept of division. And if you can label it, then they begin to understand it at the time. And that's the power here.
Right. That's great. Like they do that with candy, you know, like if you gave them, you know, especially like something like an M&M, you know, you give them a pile and depends on which child you gave it to, you know, one's going to make it in the mouth before they start divvying it up. But yeah, it's a lot of things that we did as homeschoolers too, but I, you know, we counted with M&Ms and raisins and, you know, try the healthy snacks and stuff like that. And I think that you've incorporated quite a bit in this program, so that's great. That makes sense. And this is incredible. So working at this math experience, you know, game software, you're targeting math, but it's really based on what you were telling us earlier about the statistics on how math increases all the other subjects as well.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. So the research shows that doing more mathematics makes you better at all other subjects. And what we're doing here, mainly because it's kind of like exercise for your mind, right? It's like you're solving these problems, and the more you engage in problem solving, the more you're going to take the strategies you learn, you know, problem solving around math or problem solving around anything, and take it to other areas of your life. So there's that. The other really interesting thing that we have going on is that the activities that we provide to teach these concepts are actually proven to work across the board. The activities come from this research study that was done by 2 professors that are at the University of Denver now. The curriculum they use and the activities they use, while they don't follow any standard that's out there right now, they use these computer games side by side with a control group. And what they found was that the computer games had a statistically significant increase in learning, were extremely effective, And in fact, we want to go back and approach the same professors, since we're partnered so closely with the University of Denver, and ask them if they'd like to use our platform to do some of their research.
That's phenomenal. So, you know, homeschool parents are busy, and most of us have more than one child. So how does a busy mom with multiple kids, you know, overseeing their toddler, essentially, who's playing on this, you know, computer game, because it's geared for little kids. So how much parental supervision is expected?
Okay, so the recommendation is that we do 30 minutes in the first week, and the 30 minutes is for our algorithms to calibrate to your child. So obviously, just on coming in, we don't know what they know and they don't know. They have to play for a little bit. And then from after that 30 minutes, we'd be able to generate a report letting you know that this is the age, the elephant age, and that's our own proprietary mechanism of determining how your child's doing. This is your starting elephant age. And after that initial 30 minutes, we ask that you play 60 minutes a week. That's spread out over 3 to 7 days. You can play as little bit as 10 minutes a day. And to answer your question, no parental guidance is necessary on the games, although if you want to sit with your kid and play with them, that's not unheard of. One tactic that some of our users use is to replace a small portion of story time with the games. It has the added benefit if they play for 10 or 20 minutes, they start to get tired because these puzzles are hard. And by the way, don't push your kids to play the game, right? So if you see them getting tired, these are mentally exhausting for them. So these are, for us, very, very easy. But for your children, very difficult. And if you see them getting tired, go ahead and let them stop. But that's basically right. It. If you play 60 minutes a week, we guarantee that your elephant age, it will go up by a quarter to a half year by the end of 30 days.
Wow, that's amazing that just playing games can help that. You know, and I'm going to be one of those parents who doesn't like their kids sitting in front of screens for an extended time. So, you know, you're saying that it's not like they're sitting in front of the computer for that long. You know, it can be as little as 10 minutes a day, right? Just to clarify that.
Yeah. In fact, the minimum play time is 10 minutes because we do require some amount of consistency of play. But after that, if you need to stop after 10 minutes, stop after 10 minutes. I think you should use 10 minutes for this purpose because some of the results that we've been getting are actually quite amazing. So wow. One of our users, she's about 3.5 years old now, and she's here in Denver. I know her. She's managed to go from basically counting on one hand to she's now into what kindergartners would typically be doing. She's moving into the teens, and she's starting to do skip counting, some of the beginning skip counting curriculum that we have, and it's actually quite amazing. So she's gone 18 months in about two months. And I think parents will see results as quickly as probably the week after they start, but with just 10 minutes a day.
That's very good. So, you know, one of the things that I'm excited about is that you've got, you know, a special offer for our kids, but we're going to get to that in just a minute. But I wanted to, you know, talk a little bit about, you know, what they would find in that 14 days period. So the kids are going to start, they're going to, you know, parent would sign up and they're going to have some sort of an evaluation. So basically that evaluation comes from just playing it. So if they're playing it 10 minutes a day, how soon do they get to where the game has now kicked in and it's actually being a challenge for the kids? Like, do they know, you know, this is a trial, or how does that all work?
So right now that's seamless, and they wouldn't know the difference. And that's preferable, actually, for the children, right?
Right.
You don't want them to feel as though they're being evaluated. But basically, say you have a 4.5-year-old, and you put them into the system. What we want to do is we want to start them out at the 4-year-old level. So we have curriculum that's designed for 4 to 5-year-olds. And when they start out, it might be really easy for them. It might be, like, a little bit boring even. But if they continue playing, what they're going to find is that our algorithms quickly adapt to what they know and what they don't know, and we will quickly propel them to where they need to be. It should take no more than 30 minutes. So within 30 minutes, you'll see that they'll go from being bored to being challenged by the puzzles. My chiropractor's daughter is on our system, and it's kind of funny because we actually placed her within the first 10 to 15 minutes. I went in last week, and I hadn't looked at exactly where she had stopped in our system, but I had an idea because I had talked to her dad about what he had experienced and got some feedback. And while I was waiting, she was in the office, and I started to play some puzzle games with her with my fingers. And, you know, like, it was amazing because she was placed exactly right there was what I did with my hands. But the amazing part was that she was so excited to play with me on this front. It was like, usually, you know, she didn't have a lot to say to me when I'd come in if she was in the office with the doctor. But today she was like engaging with me, and she was asking me questions back. So I'd ask her, like, if I have 9 fingers and I take away 3 fingers, how many fingers would I have? And she would count my fingers, and then she would start asking me questions back. She's like, if I have 7 fingers and I take away 2, how many do I have?
Oh, God. That's so cute.
So
yeah,
it's really fun to see, actually. It's really fun to see. And it's amazing, like, how much fun they have with it, right? Because when you say, like, 50% of Americans have math anxiety, 50% of first and second graders have math anxiety, here's a kid that's probably not going to have math anxiety. She's going to find math fun instead.
Right, and that's great. You know, and I love the idea of early childhood education. I that's where I'm like a little bit maybe different than a lot of typical homeschoolers. You know, even my own daughter who homeschools, when she had her first 2, let's say, she did a lot of early childhood development types of things. But when she started having, you know, more and more children, it's harder to get to the little kids and do lessons with them and things like that. So when I mentioned this program to her, she was really excited because she felt like it's a missing element in her homeschooling, is really gearing to the younger kids, because, you know, you've got 2 or 3 that you're trying to school, and she's got quite a few little ones. So I really love that. I also love that you guys are all about giving back, and just in your own, you're starting a math foundation specifically for that. But then I also want to tie that in just a minute about, you know, you've given us the platform to be able to donate as well. So first, share a little bit about, you know, what you found looking at low-income kids and their opportunities to learn.
Yeah, so the research shows that the preparedness level for children entering into kindergarten, as far as math is concerned, is a sliding scale, and as expected, the low-income children are worse affected than or more adversely affected than most of the other students. Everyone's kind of behind in math besides the top 20%, but low-income children are really, really behind. In fact, the research shows that they're 3 years behind their funded peers. So if the funded peers are coming in at prepared, these children coming in 3 years behind, this means that you have a 6-year-old in first grade who's trying to learn how to add, doesn't even understand how to count, probably doesn't even understand what a number is. And if you think about that child going through our system, it contributes to a 48% dropout rate in these low-income neighborhoods, and it contributes to the cycle of poverty. And if you can imagine what the impact would be on a child like this, and what our impact would be on our society as a whole, right? Because we're kind of heading in a direction where the jobs that you'd be able to get without a high school degree are going to be non-existent, right? At this point, Uber is driving themselves. I believe trucks are going to be driving themselves within 10 years. So we're talking about 20 years down the line when these children are coming out of college. What are the jobs that are going to be available to them? If they don't have this kind of background, and I'm talking about all children, not just the low-income children here. If our children in America don't have this background, I don't see how we don't turn into a socialist state, to be honest with you. And so this is super important, and it's super important for even the people who can't afford to have this program to have this program. So that's why we're offering a buy one, give one through our charity Math Matters. So we're calling it the Math Matters Buy One, Give One program. And for listeners of this show, we're happy to donate the free subscription to the Homeschool Foundation, which helps families that are homeschool.
Yeah, and it's for families who have had trauma in their lives. I actually did a interview with Ricky Black, who heads the foundation. And if you go to VintageHomeschoolMoms.com and scroll down on the right sidebar, you'll see a button for Homeschool Foundation. I mean, it could be a family that's been in a tornado-torn zone, or that has lost a parent or something like that. So it really is a wonderful place. And so we're hoping that, all works out. We just pretty much did the introduction. So we're praying that comes to fruition, because I really appreciate that, Aditya. That's wonderful. And I just love this information. I love that you're donating programs to underprivileged kids, because education is key. And it seems like with all of the government money that's been thrown to these programs, it would seem like there should be a better dropout rate. I think the dropout rate is about the same as when I was a kid, so I don't really see a whole lot of improvement. Okay, so I wanted to ask you about signing a child up. So, you said earlier that the program is like for 2 to 8 year olds, and so if you have a child, let's say a 7 year old, that really isn't working to a 7-year-old level, would I just have that child sign up? You would sign them up as a 7-year-old, because it asks, what your child's age is. And then does your program figure out where they should be? How does that work?
Sure. So just like with any other child, when you put them in as a 7-year-old, the algorithms begin to tune to what they know and what they don't know. And one of the things that might happen is they might find out that they don't know what a typical 7-year-old might know, and it'll start to drop them back based on specifically the concepts that they don't know back to the curriculum that's meant for younger ages, and start to remediate them.
Okay, so it's all seamless, and it's not like there's going to be this red flag, oh my gosh, you're like, doing 4-year-old math.
That's right, that's right. And that's another major difference between us and some of the other platforms out there, which is that a lot of these platforms might ask you, what does your child know and don't know? And as we covered earlier, right, if they've engaged in memorization strategy, that might be really hard for you to figure out. But that's what our games are designed to do. They're designed to see if they understand the concepts behind what they're memorizing. And so they can't just come in and say, oh, 5 plus 4 is 9. They have to play with the objects. They have to understand the concept. And if they're not getting it, then it'll drop them back. And if they are getting it, it'll push them forward. One of the other things that we're working on is a remediation tool for 10 to 13-year-olds. So what I'm finding as I'm going around telling people about this product is that when I hit a parent of a 10 to 13-year-old that's fitting into the category of the 2/3 of the students that are going into high school not proficient, they start to become very alarmed, because some of the things that I'm saying is obviously very scary if you're a parent and you know that your child is not excelling at math, and they're asking me what they can do. So I talked to Alvaro about that several weeks back, and we have plans to have a remediation tool out before the end of 2017. We believe by June we should have this out, but I don't want to promise that right now.
Right. Very good. As a software creator, I love that you guys are so adaptable and you're listening to feedback. And I know that's one of the things with the homeschool market, is that they're very willing to give you feedback. So I think that's great.
I'll be looking forward to it.
I think homeschoolers could benefit from this program, which is why you're on the show. And as I promised earlier, you have a special offer. So we have a special portal on our network that you can get to, and the portal is going to be elephantlearning.com/media angels. And so tell us about what that offers.
Sure. So what we have is a 14-day free trial without a credit card. And to get to that, you have to go to the URL or link off of that page is actually the easiest way to do it. So if you go to elephantlearning.com/mediaangels and click the link off that page, or if you go to elephantlearning.com/free trial, we would sign you up for a free trial without a credit card, and that's a 14-day free trial where you'll be able to get your free evaluation, so your first 30 minutes in the first 7 days, and then get a week's worth of learning in to see your child improve. And then after that, what we're offering is 50% off through the coupon code MediaAngels. So really, there doesn't seem to be a reason not to do this.
Right. And the great thing is this is for up to three children, you know, because, you know, the big thing is people are going to say, well, I can get, you know, a free app. So why would I be paying money when I can use some kind of, you know, app that's out there? And there's a ton of free apps. So again, what is the difference between, you know, why would somebody pay for this, which is great that it's up to three kids and that helps an awful lot, but why would someone pay if they can just get something for free?
Sure, that's a great question. Well, the free apps kind of basically just ask the questions that you'd expect them to ask, and it goes back to the memorization techniques, right? So what you have when you're purchasing Elephant Learning is you have these advanced algorithms that are able to navigate the curriculum quickly, figure out what your child knows and does not know. What this does is it keeps the games challenging for the children. If the games are challenging, not frustrating, and not too easy so that they're bored, but just in that right zone, math becomes fun. And that's the most important part, right? Because if you can make math fun, now children aren't afraid of it. Now the math anxiety problem starts to go away. Beyond that, you have the curriculum designed by researchers, proven to teach math, being delivered. And on top of that, we're not just one game. We have a growing library of games. So what you're buying into is the fact that it's an ecosystem. It's a platform for learning, specifically designed for learning math. Beyond that, I don't believe anyone else out there provides the parent tips that we're providing, and no one else out there integrates math into playtime like we're doing.
That's wonderful. You and I have had some conversations off air about the software, and I find, you know, I ask these really strange questions that I'm not asking on the air because probably nobody else would be interested in it. But, you know, you were explaining, you know, some of what you put into this, and I was very, very impressed. So, you know, Aditya, I want to thank you for taking the time to come on Vintage Homeschool Moms and also for your support of the homeschool community, specifically through your sponsorship of our podcast network. So I want to thank you for that. And so thanks so much for coming on today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, great. Well, I want to let you know as our listeners that we, all of the podcasters on the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network are here to come alongside you in your homeschool journey. And as our network grows, it's thanks to sponsors like Elephant Learning that we can stay on the air with quality broadcasts that help you in your daily work as a homeschool parent. And I want to thank you for listening, trying out our sponsors and sharing this podcast with your friends. You can listen on iTunes, Google Play, or any podcast app that is on your phone or on our website. At VintageHomeschoolMoms.com, you can find the show notes. Look for podcast 173, Elephant Learning. And I want to thank you so much for this special offer. And thank you guys for listening. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.